My name is Marty Old Coyote. I'm a Crow Indian. I'm from the Crow Reservation in Montana. In 1942, when my brother Henry and I came home on a furlough before we went overseas, in a ritual that goes back into the tribal past and into the mores and practices, they had one of those old scouts do what we call a warrior's blessing for us. And he did not fight at Little Bighorn, but he rode with the cavalry, so he was what we call a scout or an enlisted man. My own grandfather was an enlisted man. He fought at the Battle of Rosebud with General Crook, and he was one of the two Crows wounded at that battle. So Old Coyote, my namesake, where we get our surname, was a member of the U.S. Forces. So I knew some of them personally. So if you kind of visualize Crow country at the time, after their separation from the Hidatsa, they settled here in the mountains of southeastern Montana, beginning at Bozeman and coming this way to what is now Sheridan, the Bighorn Mountains. When you think about that, the main camp, the Mountain Crows, were anywhere from here west to the Bozeman. And then the River Crow were along the Muscle Shell on down to the mouth of the Yellowstone. So we had a band north and west, and then to the north and the east. And then the Kicktinabellies, the Lodgegrass and Wyoming people, were over in the basin, the Bighorn Basin. They're on the south side. So what they did was literally guarded the mountains. So they surrounded the mountains. The access was from south, east, and north, and they had people all around there. They didn't have villages or anything, but they roamed that area and kept patrolling it. And they shared it with other people. It was not as if you stay out. They say, you come in peace, we let you go in peace. But if you come in here and try to take over, we'll have to do something about it. They stood together, and I characterize them as a true melting pot of Indian people, because they welcomed other tribes. You belong to the Crow tribe as a state of mind, not by blood, not by heritage, not by birth even, because people had come to the Crow tribe and they decided to accept that way of life. They became Crows. I'm a product of that. I came from about five generations before I came along. There was a Sioux woman in the family tree, and they were descended from that. And about four generations back, a Piegan, a Blackfoot man, was in the family tree, and that's where Old Coyote comes from. Old Coyote himself was literally half Piegan. And when you take a chief of the Crows by the name of Sits in the Middle of the Line, also known as Blackfoot and Blackfoot Woman, he's the one who signed the treaties at Fort Laramie. And he had a Sioux wife, and that's what we're descended from. So we're mixed, but they decided to be Crows. And it was a state of mind, like I say. The Crows credit the separation to the search for the sacred tobacco plant. The story goes that two brothers went on a fast back in Lake Country, and they had a visitation. Non-Indians like to call that a vision quest. We don't call it a vision quest. We call it a visitation. It could be a dream, but what they see and follow becomes their guide spiritually. So these two brothers had very similar experiences, and the one brother saw the corn and the ceremony surrounding it. He stayed there with the Hidatsa. The other brother saw the sacred tobacco plant, mountain plant, and used that as the means of worshiping through a certain ceremony. And we characterize that as a separation, the real separation of the tribe. I sold you a book. These stories are the first ones to be published by a publishing house as a crow would tell the story. And I'd like to say this, if you don't mind. There are many books published about crows in quotes written by crows. But you look at those books, and they're not told from the crow side at all. So my point is this. All these stories that we hear pass through a non-Indian person, so you get a non-Indian perspective. Pletiku, written by Frank Bird Linderman, a giant in the Indian literature world. But when he told those stories, he was disappointed, like I told you, because Pletiku would not say, I did this, I'm pounding my chest, I'm the greatest. He wouldn't say that. He let others tell about him, then he would confirm it. And he didn't quite like that. Secondly, here was Pletiku with all the honors that a crow could gather, the greatest at that time. So great that the crows elected never to have another traditional chief, because he was the last of a kind. And ever since then, we've never had a chief. We have chairmen, presidents, CEOs, and all that, but never another chief, because he earned his right the old way. We can't do that anymore. My granddaughter wrote that book that I just sold you. These stories were told by traditional crow storytellers. My brother and I translated them. Then my granddaughter took them, edited them, and she was an undergraduate, but they published the book. And now when people read them, they say this is like listening to those storytellers and hearing them talk English. That's the difference. And therefore, the Crow tribe accepted this book, and they used the book, the title of the book, and the essence of it to honor returning veterans. Crow Fair last fall, they took great big banners with that book's title and cover, just like you have it, and they use this to honor the veterans of the Crow. The first time that the Crow tribe has embraced a book written by other Crows.